Amen. It's good to see all of you today. We will be going through our apostles again tonight. As we get to the Word of God, we'll be in Luke chapter 6. Trust all of you had a wonderful New Year's. Looking forward to working together throughout 2018, serving the Lord, reaching our community, loving one another, and helping each other along. Good to have a good safe trip up and back to Tennessee. And a good spiritual time of studying the Word of God, spending time around the Word of God. While we were up there, glad to hear the good report of folks being in their place here Sunday. And so I just trust the Lord will continue to use us all and help us to grow in greater grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be able to be a living sacrifice for Him. All right, tonight is Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot. Now the Jews hated the Roman oppression with great zeal, I guess you might say. I mean, great zeal. I mean, they hated being under submission of anyone at all, for sure. Matter of fact, let's read here and I'm going to go to another verse. Luke 6, 15, real quick. This will tell you their thought on this here, being under subjection to someone. Luke 6:15, the Bible says, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes. Simon called Zelotes. Let's go over to John chapter 8 real quick. And this here will help you understand their attitude. John chapter 8, verse number 33. John 8, verse number 33. The Bible says here, John 8, 33, they answered him, talking about Jesus, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? I guess they forgot about all those years of bondage over there in Egypt. Maybe over in Babylon. Now under the Roman rule, but this is their attitude. They did not feel any love towards the Romans, for sure. They didn't take the outsider oppression, and they didn't take it laying down. They fought and fought and fought. It is believed that Barabbas, the one they traded Jesus for, was part of this group that Simon was part of. They believed that he was part of the Zealots. And in 167 B.C., there was a Greek ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes, and he had offered a pig up on the altar of Jerusalem. And you know how they feel about those pigs, unless they're making money off of them. Like that one group of pigs that went headlong off into the river and drowned themselves. But they were definitely upset about it. I mean, they thought it was very irreverent. It was just in your face. Historians say there were five brothers by the name of the Maccabees. They led a revolt against Antiochus until they finally overthrew the Greek king who had oppressed them. But in 63 B.C., Rome decided they were going to march on down and take over Jerusalem and capture the temple. And for the next 68 years, these Jewish Minutemen, militia, whatever you want to call them, these zealots, they fought and fought and fought and fought this here Roman oppression with every bone in their body. They just did not enjoy it. Then Titus came along and destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. Not only destroyed Jerusalem, but the temple also. He came and smashed them pretty good. And there was only one other fortified fort that resisted, and it was ran by what we call this group here, the Zealots, or the Zealots. And they resisted until AD 74. Now, they were fanatical, and they had fanatical resistance against the Romans. And it played out even during Jesus' ministry. But like I said, Barabbas there, they believed he to be part of one of these groups. That, not positive if he was or was not, but if he was, him and Simon could have went on some nightly missions together. And maybe did a lot of raiding. Maybe been in that group where Barabbas even killed. You remember he was arrested for insurrection. During the insurrection also caused murder to be taking place. Now, Simon also, if you would go over to Matthew 10, has another name. Matthew 10 that he goes by. And at first look, you think it may be designating a place that he is from. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 4. Simon, what does it say? The Canaanite. And you think, wow, that must be designating some there, but it actually comes from a Greek word that's transliterated, and it is kainaiosis, which literally means zealous. So it's not a mixture, a mess up. It's just you trace the word down and you come back from it. It's not talking about from the city of Cana or from a Canaanite. It is actually a transliteration of this word into, which means zealous, which would go along with the other ones there as you look at it. Now, if you look at, just for a moment, you think about who did we look at that would have been completely opposite of Simon? Started with an M. Matthew, the publican. Simon, the zealot, a zealotus, sir, however you want to pronounce that. Complete opposites, but when Jesus got involved, they worked together. I often wondered about this, Brother Chris, when Jesus sent out the apostles two by two by two. Do you think just by chance, the Lord looked over, Matthew, you and Simon head off that way. Amazing how the Lord takes complete opposite, puts them together, and then when it's all said and done, it's quoted like this, those that turn the world upside down have come hither. Takes complete differences, difference of opinion, difference of views, but when Christ gets involved, dear friend, it is something amazing to watch. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are become new. Now, if you think about Simon's character a little bit, all of the zealots or zealotes or zealots, all of them look forward to the Messiah. But in their eyes, the Messiah would be one that would come back and would put Rome out, sit up Jerusalem, sit up the throne, bring back the king, and they would be recognized as a nation, a great nation. And Simon had these passions. I mean, he had the passion to see the overthrowing of the Roman government, the rule of Rome to be put out. He hated the taxation that kept the Jewish people under the law of the Rome, the Roman government. And as he anticipated, the Lord anticipated the coming of the Lord and the Messiah, he looked forward to the day that there would not be any Roman rule over him. If you would go to Acts chapter number 1, I think he actually hoped that Christ would physically free Israel. Acts chapter 1, and look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, this is the apostles, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This is what they looked for. That this is what they desired. This is what they wanted. And this is after the resurrection. They still have a little misunderstanding of what the Lord was actually doing. It kind of helps us to understand whenever they came in on Palm Sunday. Remember, they rode in a colt that had never been set, no man had ever sat upon. What'd they do? They laid down palm branches and they put their clothes upon it. And they praised God, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were thinking this was it. We're going in. 1 week later, he's buried in buried in a barred tomb. And they're thinking now still, maybe this is it. Maybe, wow, the power of resurrection. We saw him die. We watched them. They put him in a tomb. They sealed it. Imagine when those 3 days, they were all scared. But maybe by night, they'd come by and peek around the corner. You know, he said 3 days. Then on the third day, only a couple of women believed it. Men were hiding off in the cave, in a room. As they hid off into that room, the women come and said, hey, he said he's alive. And they took off running. So they were looking for this. They were looking. I mean, you know, we aren't told when or where Christ called Simon. Remember last week I told you that there was some of the apostles that just stayed in the background. They were just there. Wherever the Lord put us, and it kind of shows us that in our picture, we ought to just be happy to serve where the Lord puts us. Whether in the forefront or in the back. Because if it's all about Christ, whether we're in the forefront or the back, he's increased, we're decreased. And so there's not a whole bunch said to us about Simon and about where he was called. But, you know, Simon had to have been attracted to Christ possibly because he was a potential Jewish leader that would and could be and possibly was the Messiah that would come back and reign as king on the earth. Christ could perform miracles. He saw it. He was popular, you know, when he would travel. Jesus would be going along his way, and you know, leaders, political leaders, had to be popular. You had to have a following of some sort that you know, and as Simon maybe could see this afar off or a little bit ways away and begin to notice some things, maybe sitting off to the side and begin to hear some sermons. Matter of fact, maybe statements like this, go over to Matthew chapter 10. Perhaps a statement like this is Jesus made, Matthew chapter 10. Caught Simon's attention. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Well, what the zealous men doing? They could come with a sword. I mean, they were coming. You remember Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, whacked off an ear. I mean, just, man, I can almost imagine Simon. It's just, where's my sword now? It's time to attack. But perhaps when he heard, have you ever been sitting in a church service or listening to a sermon on CD or whatever, on the radio or on TV or something, maybe even singing a song, perhaps even listening to the radio, and you're there. Well, I see some of you are here, but you checked out. But then something is said, just a phrase, and it grabs your attention. Can you imagine this day when Jesus was, you're talking about Simon, a man that had been part of a group that had fought and fought and fought and fought, and you're there, and then all of a sudden you hear this, I've come to bring a sword. Probably grabbed his attention. And he grabbed a hold of him, and he didn't quite hear the whole sermon. Matthew 10, look only at verse 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. Kind of like we men, we often hear selectively. Is that what they call it? Selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. And the rest we just throw out the window. Listen to what it says. He heard this in verse 34. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. But that doesn't end the context. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than he is than me is not worthy of me. This is Jesus saying all this. And he that loveth son or daughter more than he is than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. This is talking about the division that the gospel would bring even within homes and families. Have you ever heard a message and then you just got turned off because perhaps that message popped right on top of where you was living? And you heard, well, why is he preaching at me again? And then you just forget, you don't hear the rest of the way to understand the scriptures or grasp healing or to have the Holy Spirit guide you through that thought and plant the word into the heart, that we grow thereby, and we cut it off because we are. We don't want to hear it, whatever the reason is. He heard this portion, and you think about it, this could get his attention. How many of you could give this testimony? Don't give it to me, but you were presented with gospel several times before you actually accepted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Remember what it says? We plant and we water, God giveth the increase. God brings the increase. And in this message, he didn't get the whole entirety of what he probably got out his sword and started sharpening. Hey, we got us a leader here. Look at all these people gathered around this Jesus. I need to know more about this Jesus. Isn't it like that? Just a little word planted here, a little seed. Somebody at work, somebody at school, and they show the gentleness and kindness of Christ, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, and they want to know more. They got to know more, and I think this is probably what happened here in this situation. He heard the first part, but he didn't understand the entirety. Well, how do you know that? Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they ask again, Lord, now, okay, you're risen. Are you going to restore Israel? They still didn't understand it at all. And Jesus was making the point here that the gospel divides people and will create conflict. They thought they had conflict with the Romans. Well, they thought that was conflict. But the gospel has brought great conflict to the nation of Israel, has it not? Well, boy, they get saved. You get one family member gets saved and starts following the Lord Jesus Christ, and but you're just as good as dead. I mean, you're not even, they don't even consider you alive no more. That's how the division the Lord was talking about. And we, as Americans, and as people that live under a rule of free conscience and free faith following, we can just choose. There's even problems sometimes within our own borders, within families. You know, let somebody that's been raised in a, say, like a hard shell type background of Baptist distinctives, or free will Baptists, where they can lose their salvation, so forth and so on, and let them begin to read and study the scriptures and see for themselves, or be raised like I was raised in the United Pentecostal movement. Well, it's a big division. My mother has taken the Bible and she has corrected the Bible. They believe in the King James Bible. She says that confession is speaking in tongues. That's not what it says over there. You can't make up stuff as you go. And it's called grave division. Grave division there. And so this is what Jesus was hitting at, was that there's going to bring this division. And Jesus states that this conflict can even happen among families, and he lays it out there: father, mother, daughter, mother, a man. Verse 36: a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You ever been at a family gathering, and they say something like this: "Ah, here goes the preacher again. We don't want to hear that preaching. We're here for a family reunion, and all you're doing is, you know, being joyful that you're saved, obedient to Christ, you know, door opens, mention Jesus here and there. Maybe you've been at a work environment. I remember when I was in the Army, when I first got saved, they were having a party at the NCO club, and it was like a mandatory thing, you know. It was that everybody was going to go, and I went to my commander and I said, "Look, sir, if it'd be all right with you, I'd like not to go to this thing. I knew the environment." He said, "Oh, you're going to go." I said, I will if that's what you want. I will. He said, "You're going to not only go, now I'm going to make you be the designated driver," which I was okay with. I was okay with it. I didn't have to go in. I drove the van at work, drove those drunks back home, back and forth. And then after that, there was, you know, little stop marks come here and there. Oh, here's the old holy roller. Don't want to be around it. I found this out, Brother Chris, that in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as I live by God, now I was not always like that. 6 months prior to that, I'd have been glad to go to the NCO club. Matter of fact, even after I got saved a little bit, it wouldn't have bothered me. Just didn't grow. When I started growing, I found out, Brother Chris, when I started living according to the principles of the Word of God, I never had to separate myself from any of my friends. They began to find themselves other friends. Because this is how it worked in the Army, Brother Chris. You know it well as I do. Any of you guys been in the Army, Brother Felipe, tell me from the half of them that do are broke the day after. And the first thing comes, "Hey, loan me five. I got to go over to the class six. Loan me five to go to the class six." "No, I don't have five to loan you to go to the class six." You're no longer on their buddy list no more. Class 6 is a liquor store, in case y'all didn't know. That's what it is. It wasn't just, you look at it and you say, "Well, it's going to bring division." Yeah, it's going to bring division, because there's some things that we as Christians should not be doing or involved in. Is that simple? Doesn't make you no more child of God. God still loves you. But dims the light. Dims the light there. And Christ teaching with him and trying to get his attention, and he's grabbed a hold to it, and he's, I can follow this man. Can you imagine whenever he caught it? Of course, we don't have that incident in here like the other ones, like Matthew, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, and all the other, Peter, James, John, come. Can you imagine as he caught him, and they're gathered up there, and there's 8, 9, 12, I don't know if he was the first, fifth, or the seventh, I don't know what order it was, but then, this is Matthew. Can you imagine like a round circle, I'm introducing myself, I'm Peter, I was a fisherman. Here's Simon sitting over there. And as it goes around. And I'm Matthew. I was a tax collector. A publican. Can you imagine? I mean, just amazing there. As I look at the situation. We're here, he's excited maybe to hear that Jesus would bring a sword. But when he met Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he could sit at a circle with somebody that was completely opposite him in the past and work together for the cause of Christ. That's amazing. I mean, that was amazing whenever you think about that. I mean, can you imagine the time when Jesus was shown the coin, Brother Ray? You remember the story of Jesus showing the coins? You know, they came, they wanted to trick him. The Herodians and the publicans, not the publicans, the Herodians and the Sadducees, Pharisees, they came, they wanted to trick him. They wanted to cause him some heartache. And so they brought a coin. They come to him with a question. What do you think about this? That we should we be paying these taxes? Of course, taxes are paid with money. And Jesus said, give me one of them coins. And they pulled a coin out. Now, here's Simon sitting there. And he flips it over and says, whose picture is this? Of course, they all knew whose picture it was. It's Caesar's. And Jesus looked at him, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and things that are God, render unto God the things that belong to God. Matthew 22, listen, go over to Matthew 22 and listen to their response. Matthew 22. Verse 22. Matthew 22:22. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And marvel. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as Simon sit around, listened, and was there, the old hard heart of breaking the Roman rule began to slowly change. And says, I'm going to be submitted to God even in this situation. Perhaps maybe along the way the Lord had maybe pointed him to. Why don't you read the book of Daniel, Simon? What do I want to read that for? I think it'd be good to read. He said, preach, you don't know that. No, but it did say in the Gospels that Jesus did many things that if it was all written down, even the books couldn't contain them. But I do know this, the Word of God is written for our example. So as we read through it, maybe... Why would he read Daniel? Because Daniel was a young man that was taken into captivity and submitted himself to God. Perhaps down the road a little bit, you know, maybe the Lord looked and said, you know, he didn't catch on to that one real good. It didn't help him much. He got stuck on that there finger writing in the wall. Maybe another 2 or 3 months went by. I said, yeah. Hey, Simon, let's sit down here. Let's read about Joseph. Took the word of God, and faith began to work in the heart of Simon and began to help him along, that he could be able to work and labor with a man like Matthew. Wonder why that is. Because he realized the new birth in Christ Jesus. Simon had to be forgiven just like Matthew. Just like Peter. Just like Bartholomew. Just like Thomas. See, it doesn't matter where your past comes from. It's where you meet Christ and what Christ does for you in your life. We see Christ's amazing wisdom as he answered. What's Christ? Give to Christ. What's the Lord's? Give the Lord. And if you're saved, what's the Lord's? Every bit of us. I don't know why it is we as Christians think we can just hold some things back. Lord, you can have this here part, but no, you can't have that. Don't work like that, dear friend. What? Know ye not that you are not your own? You're bought with a price. You're God's. And so in this teaching over here about taxes, we can take application that, okay, I'm going to give that to Caesar, whatever's his, but whatever's the Lord's, I'm going to give to the Lord. What is? Why do we hold back? Our talents? Man, some of you guys could sing and sing really well, but won't get in the choir. Some of you guys are talkers. You can talk the Lord. I mean, talk the paint off the walls. But won't share the gospel with nobody. Oh, Simon. Simon says, I want a Messiah that will bring Rome down to his knees. And then the Lord began to work in his heart. Begin to work. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. This is amazing here to me. You know how you can tell somebody's been changed? They just want to stay around the things of God. There's a list here given in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. When they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and guess who? Simon Zelotes. And Judas, the brother of James. He just wants to stay ministry. You know he was one of them that had went fishing? You know, Peter, after the resurrection, Peter said, I'm going fishing. He just wanted his country to be free from foreign rule. God says, hey, you're not of this country. You're just passing through. And he became a fisher of men. Our Lord reaches out to ordinary, unattractive people. Be honest, who certainly are not our first. It wouldn't have been my first choice. These 12 here. I think about throughout the scripture. I think about Gideon. See, and this is an amazing thing. The Lord knows from the beginning to the end. Gideon did not want to be a part of that. Then the Lord whittled his army down to 300. Done great things through him. But at the end of his life, he didn't finish well. Study the story of Gideon. Didn't finish well at all. Man, life, people he chooses to use. This is amazing. We get to looking down at people, looking at folks, and man, I wouldn't choose them to do nothing. I don't even know if I'd choose them. I don't know if I'd choose them to even, you know, be a doorkeeper. King David said, if that's all I can do, just be a doorkeeper. Let me be found faithful. We've got to get to the point. I'm closing right here because I know some of you are tired. Listen, we've got to get to the point where we understand something. This is God's business. God chooses who He will and uses them in the ways that He will and conforms them little by little. We're not cookie cutters. We're not Xerox Christians. We're created in His image and His likeness. That's the only Xerox that we are copied out of. It's His likeness. And all of us go down different roads of life. But when we meet Christ, dear friend, the way, the truth, and life, He puts us on a path, a narrow path, His path, and He begins to work on us. And I'm telling you, in the years I've been saved and where I'm at now in my walk, I have hit several speed bumps, Brother Ethan. My soul, I've hit some speed bumps. I've run through some four-way stops fast as I could. Because I got my eyes set on things that I wanted, and before I know it, the Holy Spirit of God had to write me a ticket. Let me get this here. What ticket? He brought back verses to my mind. Scriptures. Gave me a... What's wrong with you, son? And He began to brand me back onto the path again. I've gotten some ditches, Sister Debbie. I've been like the blind leading the blind many times. But when Jesus gets back over, He comes seeking the one that's gone astray and brings me back, puts me back on that path. He said, let's go. Giddy up. Get on down there. He forgives me. Uses me again the very same day when I've messed up. Because that's the goodness of God. So as we've studied through these apostles, if it hadn't blessed you, it has blessed me to see that my Lord, in His earthly ministry, has used men with great troubles. And He turned the world upside down. So just think what He can do with us. We've got a complete Bible. We've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And we've got good friends. There are more than 12 of us here. As far as I know, none of y'all have been tapping into the CIA or the NSA, telling on me, trying to get me locked up somewhere like they did to Jesus. Old Judas running over to the religious CIA, NSA. Well, here he is. You know, up in Canada, dear friend, that you can get arrested for things that I've been preaching against. Yes, sir. Up there. You can see why I'm telling you we need to pray for that group up there. Not only do they not have a pastor, they need a sending church. They've got it pretty tough up there in Canada. It's a beautiful country. Negative 53 right now, but Lord, a preacher goes up there, he can go to jail in 2 weeks. Preaching that homosexuality is wrong. In Canada, right north of our border. I didn't realize up there. I had to readjust some of my sermons. I wanted to come back to Lock Haven. And I went and preached for them up there. I said, Lord, have mercy. They'll have to rest me at the board. Keep me. I just changed some of them. You lying preacher. Oh, no. I tell you, there's some things that you got to stand bold on. I'm just joking with you. The Lord laid it on my heart. You ought to have to come bail me out. Sister Betty done told me, preach, if you go to jail, it better be in Osceola County. That's the only pool I got. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful night at your house. Lord, I did chatter along a little bit. It's good to see our people. It's good to be back here with them, to fellowship with them. Lord, Brother Ray's heart's burden. It's heavy. He's loved his bride a long time. We know the scriptures. We know that she's yours. It doesn't erase the heartache and the pain. God, I pray for grace upon grace be poured out upon Brother Ray. Lord, his comfort is needed. Strength is fading. I pray that you'd let him know how much you love him and Sister Donna. And that you'll see him through this difficult hour. Lord, for the rest of our church, all of them have heartaches and pains. difficulties they're going through, so many unspokens on our list. That means, Lord, that it's a burden that they don't even feel comfortable sharing with their church family. But it hasn't taken you by surprise, Lord, what you work in each and every one of them. As we go into 2018, Lord, we ask that you use us in a way that only you could get the glory. Help us to yield and help us to be surrendered. Help us not to be so stiff-necked, to kick against the pricks of the Word of God. And help us to yield ourselves, as it says in Romans 6, instruments of righteousness. We're drawn to an end to this old world. We've got friends and families and co-workers, people around us, neighbors that are lost and want to spend eternity in hell. God, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody know the weather situation tomorrow, Brother Jim? Is it going to be raining, cold, wet, below 30? 30, 32 tomorrow evening? Huh? But just cold. All right. Well, I think we're going to just, we'll not have visitation tomorrow night. I don't want you being sick. And the rest of it end up sick. But if you can, pass out some tracts tomorrow. Invite people to church and share the gospel, okay? You're dismissed.